you for once again an opportunity to be in your house, to sing your praises, and to hear your word. We have come to worship you, our kinsman and our redeemer. Thank you for all that you've done for us, even since the day began. And Lord, we pray, forgive us of all our shortcomings. And may you this evening come and minister unto every need that is represented here. For we believe you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your word tells us to them that believe your things are possible. So help us, Heavenly Father, and minister unto our needs. In the most precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and to be with the people of God. And the scripture tells us where two or three are gathered in his name is there. So we know that our Lord is here. And wherever we meet, he comes to provide, he comes to take care of us. So we are happy to be here because he is here. And that's the main thing for us to know that he is here. Hallelujah. The unchanging one, the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we just want to read a portion of the scripture to encourage ourselves. We've heard, but every time is fresh. And so we just love to encourage ourselves. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's read from the book of Romans chapter 3. Just say some few things. Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Shall be seated. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are happy to be together in the house of the Lord. And it's a great opportunity. It's a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Knowing that we are here before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the prophet said it is not the number of the people, but it's the quality of the spirit. And so we are thankful to the Lord that he doesn't look so much upon our numbers, but he looks into our heart. Amen. And so whenever we have this So we are grateful that the Lord watches over every word that he says. And the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. Amen. So we are grateful again that in this our day, in this our age, in this our time, God has sent a prophet to us with a message of restoration. And we have been taught restoration is to bring something back to its original position, in its original condition. Hallelujah. So that is our message, to come back to what was given to our fathers. Amen. And then we have been admonished, and the word of God has been spoken to us to believe the Lord. To believe the word of the Lord, because God believes his own word. And children of God, they will believe the word like their father does. So as children of Abraham, we believe the word of the Lord. Now, sometimes God does things and says things that looks ridiculous. He says sometimes he makes it so ridiculous. And he says sometimes God makes things in a way to cause the unbeliever to disbelieve more. He does things and makes things so that the unbeliever will disbelieve more. But the believer will believe. Because the believer is a believer. It's made to believe. Something has been placed within him to believe. The believer don't try to understand or no, he just believes. Because the scripture says, to them that believe, all things are possible. And so we saw in the scriptures just the portion that we just read, and it was in the days of Elisha. And then it was a difficult time in the city of Samaria. And sorry. And then there was no food. There was no food. Because the Syrians besieged the city. And so they could not go out and they could not come in. And things became very, very difficult. Until they sold all that they had. And they've eaten all that they had. And it became so bad that they even begin to kill their own children and be eaten. This is terrible. Sin is a reproach. Sin is cruel. And sin is to disbelieve the word of the Lord. The prophet said that is what sin is. He says sin is to miss the mark. He says sin is to doubt one word of God. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us. And so, these people have been brought into this condition because they disbelieve the word of the Lord. Because they try to reason. They try to imagine. And they try to have their own way. They start to at a point, they say, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. But it matters what we do. It matters today what you do. What we do with what God says. Of what we do with what the word of the Lord says. Because God says what it means and means what he says. Praise the Lord Jesus. And listen, just we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It does not matter where you live. It does not matter who you are. There is one thing that God is interested in, is what you do with his word. Because we shall give account to him for his word. And we have been taught that the strength of the believer in every age is our knowledge of the truth and our adherence to the truth. That's why every age he gives a portion of his word. And so what we do with what is given to us is very important. And he said, because as the Lord walks in the midst of the candlesticks, which is the church ages, and which we are in the last. So he examines our lives by the blueprint that he gave. Not our thoughts, not our ideas, but by the word that he has given.
Because it is not how we want to live or what we want to do, how we want to conduct ourselves, but it is what he wants us to do. It is important that we find out from God, what do you want me to do? Why am I here? What am I here for? And when you find God's will for your life, then you stick with it. In life or death, you stick with it. Because the will of God does not mean, oh, smooth sailing. The will of God is grace. That no matter what comes, no matter what will be, there is grace. If he appoints me to die, he gives grace. And he gives you grace. We are different. We are made differently for different purposes. Amen. Oh, yes. Many a time we fail because we try to compare our lives with this one and that one. But that's not it. I am saved for a purpose, and you are saved for a purpose. He has a different purpose, and he has a different purpose for everybody. Everyone, just like all this guitar is here, and this one there. This is different. This is different. Praise the Lord. So everybody has a purpose. Everybody has something to do. And it is of great importance for everybody to find out their purpose, and then you serve your purpose. Amen. Don't try to compare your life with somebody. No. You read the scripture, and sometimes you look at, sometimes Israel, when they go to fight, God said, okay, you don't have to fight, I will fight, and you go and collect the spoil. And sometimes he said, don't touch nothing. Go and fight. Don't touch nothing. That's what it says. Amen. So we have to do what? You look in the scripture, and I read up like Paul. Paul was, there was a time the Apostle Paul and Silas was in prison. And they've beaten them, they've whipped them, and they are, tossed over their back. And then the prison doors open. And they didn't go out. But Peter was in jail, and then the prison door opened. The angel of the Lord came down and said, get out. The door opened. Paul and Silas was there, but God didn't tell them to go out. So they stayed there. The angel of the Lord came down midnight, and then he opened. He said, Peter, go, let's go. And he took him out. So we just have to know what he wants us to do. So that we would not say, he did this here, fine, he does it, but what does he, what is his purpose for my life? What does he want me to do? Because there was a need for Paul and Silas to stay there. The door opened. They could have run out. Oh, the door has opened. Oh, yes, God has opened the door. It was God. But what did God want them to do? It was God that opened. So, but what does he want them to do? They stay right there until the morning. And when the jailer said the door, he went to kiss, he said, no, don't do it. We are here. We have not gone out. We are still here. Wow, you are here? He said, yes, we are here. Immediately he said, what shall I do to be saved? Amen. I want to believe your message. Because a lot of prisoners tried to break jail to run away. But this one stayed there. May God help us to find the will of God for our lives and to stay there. Stay with the will of God. Don't try to, like when the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead, and he met the disciples, Peter, and then he said, Simon, follow me, son of Jonas. And then John was there. But Peter said, what about this brother here? And then Jesus said, what is that to you? If I want him to live till I come, that's not your business. What is that to you? You follow me. Forget about that brother. Living. And you follow me. Amen. You do what I want you to do. Amen. You obey my word. I said, follow me. So it is not wise to compare your life with somebody. Because the scripture says, those who compare their lives to one another are not wise. And sometimes when we do that, we even fail to see what God is doing in our lives. When we should be appreciating God, you'll be looking at somebody, this one has more than I do. This one has more than I do. So you become, you pity yourself. Self-pity. Because you are looking at somebody else. Instead of you to appreciate God in your life, instead of you to be thankful to God, you just oh, look at this one, look at this, and look at me. May God help us. Each and every one of us is here for a purpose. Find a purpose and stick to it. Life or death, stay right there. May God help us. And let's put our effort in everything. Once you find out, because the Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our heart, with all our mind, and everything that is in us. And that is what I believe in. Amen. To serve the Lord. Amen. If I want to sing, sing. If you are singing to God, sing where? Amen. Don't sing as if you are being forced to sing. If you want to worship Him, let's worship God where? Praise the Lord. Because that is the only thing God cannot do for Himself. God is an object of worship. He cannot worship Himself. His subjects has to worship Him. We are the people to worship Him. Amen. That's what He created us for. Yes. To worship Him. Amen. So let's worship Him with a meaning. Amen. And know what you are doing. Amen. And I don't care who is there or who is not there, or who is looking at me and who is not looking at me, I want to worship my King. That's why every individual needs that personal revelation. If you know what He has done for you, if you know what He has done for you, then you want to give Him praise. Then you want to give Him adoration. Then you want to glorify Him. We should not be intimidated by nothing. To look around here, no. I don't care about that. Hallelujah. So sing with meaning. Sing with understanding. And worship the King. It's worthy to be worshipped. It's worthy to be praised. And we must know what we come here for. Why am I here? Why do I come to church? We come in. So you must have a purpose. You must have a vision. You must know what we are here for. And He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. You remember Paul and Silas alone were in prison singing, and other prisoners heard them singing. Look at our number here. Nobody is hearing us. Hallelujah. You might think I'm crazy, but that's good. I like that way. Praise the Lord. They sang and the other prisoners heard them, and they sang and they clapped their hands, and the prison doors opened. Two brothers singing, shouting and glorifying God. And these were people that have been beaten severely for the cause of the gospel, with blood all over their back, stripes there. And yet, they could have sat down and be crying and be, not to Paul. They were singing, they were praising, they were worshiping God. God, thank you that we have been beaten. We have been beaten for the cause of the gospel. We are bearing in our body the mark of His suffering. See my own. Praise the Lord for that. And you have all, and you can praise Him. May God help us. We should praise Him. Or we should sing the praises of our God. Let the people know that we know whom we have believed. And we are appreciative for what He has done for us. And we thank God for doing what He has done for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, we should praise him. We should worship him. We should express it. Let the world know. Let the people know that we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are grateful for his work of redemption, for what he took us from, for where he brought us from the merry clay, put our feet on the rock to stay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember, you have one time. Mortality is once. Yeah. Only one time to live in this mortal life to praise him. To express our appreciation to him. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come, consecrate on the Lord and worship him. Don't look at this one and say this one. Let them say, anybody say what they want to say. If you want to say amen, open your mouth and say amen. Because if you can't talk now, you'll be praying, brothers, this day my voice is lost. I lost my voice. Pray for me. When your voice is there, what are you doing with your voice? If you are in the Hallelujah Square, house of God, you can't open your mouth. When you go out, how will you open your mouth? If you can't praise God in his own house, will you praise him outside? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, if you think I'm crazy, that's up to you. I don't care about you. Hallelujah. May God help us. Amen. Yes, sir. We are not spectators. We don't come to be spectators. We come to be participants. Amen. To participate. Put everything in it. Yes. Amen. To look, not here to look. We are here to worship the Lord. Amen. Listen, saints, it's not the number of the people that are here. It's the quality of the spirit. Amen. We must open our heart. We're giving all the praises. We should be prayed up. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah. Anyway, what if some did not believe? Apostle, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? He said, God forbid. Prophet of God said, Brother Brown said that unbelief is the oldest disease in this world. It's as old as Adam was old. It's at the birth of unbelief. Oh, 99.9% of the word of God was considered. Only one. That shall not surely die. That's the birth of unbelief. Everything that God said, but the one thing was injected into it, that is death. And that has caused all the heartaches and all the pain and all the death that we've seen today. But you should remember that when God says something, he means it. He said, heaven and the earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Once he speaks, he will take care of it. No matter what will be. Oh, hallelujah. Believe what God says. Take what God says. We should not try to imagine and calculate. No. Just take what he says. And he will take care of his word. Because I am watching over my word, I will perform it. No matter how ridiculous it looks, he will do it. Because time means nothing to him. Distance means nothing to him. Age means nothing to him. He is the creator. So we try to, how will these things be? That's not your business. Your business is to believe. It's his business to bring it to pass. To fulfill his word. And remember, he will always fulfill his word. Because I am watching over my word. The Bible says God is not a liar to say anything that he will not do. He will do it. He knows how to do it. He don't need your help. He don't need my help. He said to Abraham, by myself I have sworn that what I am saying, I will do it. He said to Abraham, you will grow old, you will die, but what I am telling you, even if you are not here, I will do it. Amen. Was he not the one that came to Moses at the backside of the desert and said, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, I have remembered my promise, I have come down. The promise I gave to Abraham, I remember it. And I have come down. It's my time now to do my work. Because he told him 400 years, and after I will come. And he came right there. Because God is never late. And it's never too early. He's always on time. He said, I've come down to deliver them. Because that is what I told myself I would do. Because known unto God are all his works before the foundation of the world. So he knows everything. He knows every one of us. He knows you will be here and I will be here. And he knows what we'll be doing. And he has sought to it that it is just what he thought it to be. Or what he planned it to be. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. When he says he will do something, he sends an anointing and he raises up people. He ordained the messenger. He knows the condition of the age and he chooses the man. He prepares the man and he fixes the man. The man of the hour to cut the people of the hour. He does it. It is not our own mathematics. It is God's work. It is God's way for us. Oh. Brother Branham said, it is not your choice to be a Christian. It is his choice. It is his program. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God in the highest. God plan it. God work it out. And he's still working it out. Here in the scripture here, and then they were killing their children, and they were, I mean, can you imagine somebody eating their own child? Will a mother not have compassion on his own child? But these people were hitting their children. Can you imagine that? And then God's grace came down in the days of Elisha. Elisha was passing by, and the king was passing by, and they said, what is happening? And the women begin to tell him their stories, and this woman has deceived me, and he said, we should eat my child, and they will eat their own child, but now she has deceived me. She has kept a child, hiding the child somewhere. I said, what? And then the king said, I will deal with Elisha. What has Elisha done? Every time we want to put blame on somebody else. He began to accuse Elisha that Elisha is the cause. For what? Did Elisha tell you not to obey the word of God? Was he not the one preaching, telling the people, straighten up? May the Lord Jesus help us. Amen. However, the grace of God came then. He said, Elisha came on the scene. Elisha said, tomorrow at this time, there will be food in abundance. A bag of flour will be sold 1 shekel, and 2 bags of barley, 1 shekel. Then, this man, one big man, or a member of the parliament, or member of government, or governor of a state, or whatever it was, said, ha, it's not possible. Tomorrow, where would the food come from? He said, even if God opened all the windows of heaven, might these things be? It's not possible. And Elisha looked at him. He said, you will see with your eye, you will never eat. Because you don't believe it. But you will see it. It will happen live. You will see with your eyes what God can do. You will see that God is God. Amen. And I am his prophet. Because the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. Amen. And the Bible says, believe his prophets so that you prosper. Believe the prophet of God. And we've got to believe the prophet. You don't have to understand. You've got to believe. You don't have to reason. You've got to believe. And it just, how possible is this thing be? How will it be? That's not your business. Because God is responsible for his word. And the only way the word can come forth is by a prophet. And so this man looking at the situation around him and the condition, and there has not been food for some time, and the famine was so severe and the situation was bad and people were suffering, and they said, so how would this change? How would this change in 24 hours? He said, if God opened all the windows of heaven, might these things be? Is it possible? After the doctor has condemned this one, after the doctor has pronounced this, after this and this has been said, is it possible? But remember, this is God the Creator. One time he took Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones. He said, Ezekiel, in the spirit, and he moved around. He said, look around. He said, look around. He said, what do you see? He said, dry bones. And there were very many. Dry bones. They've been in the valley for many years. Hundreds and hundreds of years. And then God said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Can anything good come out of this? He said, hey, thou knowest. I can't answer you. I don't know. Thou knowest. It's okay. All right, Ezekiel, speak to the bones now. Prophesy to the dry bones and let them come together. And Ezekiel took the word. And they said, ye dry bones, come together. He just did what God told him to do. He just followed the instructions. And if we can just follow instructions that God gives to us, we'll be fine. Ezekiel didn't raise it. He just said, ye dry bones, thus saith the Lord, come together. And the Bible said, and the dry bones begin to come. And there was a mighty noise. A mighty noise. Where there is life, there is noise. So be spiritually alive. And have life and have noise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And the dry bones begin to come together. From east and west. Whatever they have been scattered. They begin to move. And this one comes from there. Maybe one leg is in an effort. Another head is in Bridgeport. And this one is there. Because they've stayed in the valley for long. And the wind might have blew them here and there. But they all came together. To left and right. And it was just like now. God is able. The God of Ezekiel is the God of today. And he's able to restore. Because I will restore orphans. I'll make it good. I'm watching over my word. I will fulfill it. There is nothing. If he could put the dry bones together, what can't he do? He can do anything. That's why today there is a nation called Israel. Because there was nothing. They were scattered all over. But he said, I will command the north. Give up my people. Give them up. And 70 years ago. And this nation today, called Israel, is a super nation. It's the best nation. The most powerful army. Oh yeah. The best in agriculture. The best in science. The best in everything. The best scientists are Jews. The best farmers are Jews. The best effort are Jews. The best army, Jews. Everything is Jews. The best to win the Nobel Prize, they are Jews. Small nation. A population of 8.something million. And they lead in everything. They are in the news every day. They fought a lot of battles. A lot of battles. Oh, hallelujah. God said, I'll bring them back there. And he has brought them there. He said, and no nation can remove them out of that place. No nation. This small nation. And they are here in Syria. And they are there in Iraq. And they are here in Iran. They are everywhere. Watching everywhere. Fighting everywhere. No matter who the enemy, they just fight. God help us just to believe. Knowing that what God has said is what God will do. It's not our business. Our business is to believe. It's to take him at his word. And look unto the Lord. And it's like a prophesy. And it's okay, let's come. And let this come. And they stood as a mighty army. And God said, can't I do the ass of Israel like the bones? So I can do it. And he can do it for you the same. He can do it for me too. Because he is God. Hallelujah. What if some did not believe? Said their unbelief make the faith of God without effect. He said, God forbid. Nothing can stop God. No power. Brother Brent said, there are not enough devils. There are not enough powers. There are not enough demons anywhere to interrupt the program of God. To stop the program of God. He said, unbelief only will stop the unbeliever. Because unbelief doesn't stop God. It doesn't change his program. It's nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Unbelief don't stop God. He don't bother God. It doesn't bother God's plan. It doesn't bother God's word. He don't hurt it. He don't ruin it. It only ruins the unbeliever, not God. God promises will be fulfilled just the same. Unbelief can't stop the sun from rising or rain from falling. Unbelief can never do it, but faith can do it. It doesn't stop the program of God. No. It will only stop the unbeliever. Unbeliever will not benefit from the things of God. God help us to be true believers. To believe what he says. Without reasoning. No matter how ridiculous it might look. Nothing stop God. Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong and he was giving praise to God. He was praising God before Isaac was born. Before the miracle took place. Begin to praise God and the miracle will take place. He was giving praise to God. He was blessing the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Believe the word of the Lord. Some few months ago, just last month, I prayed and they were back in our church and had some prayer line. And there was a boy for 4 years and he came and he was prayed for. And then after service, he was not eating yogurt. He had some allergy. He didn't eat yogurt, drink milk. After service, he told mama, he said, I want to eat yogurt. He said, oh, mama said, oh, he said, I've been prayed for. Give me yogurt. They went home. He was not drinking. He said, give me milk. I've been prayed for. It's moving. This is Baba 4 year boy. The mother and the father and they are amazed. See that boy? Said, and they said, look, it seems your faith is the other senior brother 4 years and the one the senior Abbasi said, why is your faith becoming very strong? He said, yes, I've been prayed for. May God help us. Amen. What if some did not believe? Unbelief can never stop the sun from shining. Can never stop the work of God. It only stops the unbeliever. And when God said he's going to do something, he sends an anointing. Anointing comes upon the people. He raises up people. He raises a man to believe. He does it. Because it's not my choice. It's his choice. It's not what I want. It's what God has planned. What God has determined to do. He has determined before the foundation of the world. There will be Christians. He determines it. He makes his choice. Before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says our names were placed in the Lamb's book of life. Before the foundation of the world. Before we came here, before there was any creation, before there was any star, before there was anything, God has already decided. Amen. The seasons and what will be in the seasons and what any the part that everyone will play. The Bible said in this, to be brief, there was no food, and Elisha prophesied, and he said, tomorrow this thing is going to happen, and then somebody said, it's not possible. But the Bible said the next day,
There were four lepers outside of the gate.
They said to themselves, why should we sit here and die? Amen. Why do you sit down and die? Amen. You better rise up. Amen. You better shake yourself. Amen. You better begin to confess. Yes. You better begin to do something now. Amen. If you sit down, you will die. You'll be called, start and go. You better begin to rejoice and bless the name of the Lord and thank God for his greatness. They said, why should we sit down here and die? Let's rise up. Let's do something. You better begin to do something. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He said, look, if we stay here, we die. And they said, okay, let's go to the city. He said, no. Even in the city, there is no food. He said, what are we going to do? One said, maybe let's go to the city. He said, hey, the Syrians will kill us. He said, the situation we are in today, if the anger don't kill us, somebody has to kill us. Because we are going to die anyhow. Hallelujah. So we better stand up, stop reasoning, and do something. Amen. It's better to do something and to say even over zeal than to have no zeal. Right? It's better to be overzealous than to have no zeal. It's better to rust out, to wear out, than to rust out. Than to sit down here and be complaining and be looking at people. No, you better shake yourself. Hallelujah. Get to business. Get to do something. The prophet said, I prefer to have a white fire than no fire at all. Yes. The church of the living God is not a dead place. It's not a cemetery. We are living people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That brother is crazy. Praise the Lord for somebody that's crazy like me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the hand of the Lord in my life, I see. Yes, sir. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to the Syrians. Let's go. He said, you never know. You never know. Maybe they might not kill us. Maybe. Let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go. And they started going. And sometimes you try to wonder that. Like Mary and Johanna, when they were going to the sepulchre, the cemetery where Jesus was buried, they said there was a big stone there. They said, who will roll away the stone for us? That should have made them to sit down. But they didn't sit down. She said, well, sister, we shouldn't have to make an effort. There's a big stone there. Let's see that. No. She said, but anyway, let's go. By the time they got there, the stone has been rolled away. Move forward and the stone will be rolled away. Amen. What you are afraid of might not be there. Satan, the devil tried to paint some picture before us and here and there. No, let's go. Amen. When we get there, he will show us how to cross the river. Satan put a big picture, gloomy picture, here and there. But I'm telling you, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We've not believed cunningly devised fables. No matter the confusion, this one said that one said that, it has nothing to do with it. God's word will be fulfilled anyhow. Things will rise up and things will die. Things will rise up and things will fall. The truth will prevail. Ye shall know the truth. And the troops are set you free. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Don't sit down. Let's do something. Let's go. And the Bible said, while they were just walking, four lepers, four hungry lepers. They have not eaten. And in the first place, a leper cannot even walk correct. Because these hands are eating in the toes. And when your toes are not there, you see how you walk. Try it on yourself. Yeah, you try it on yourself. Then you will appreciate God for your toes. Amen. If you lose it, you will know what it is. And sometimes we don't know how much God, we should be praising God. Amen. You don't know what you have until you lose it. You have the opportunity to come to church. You will not come to church. Things you have, the voice God gave you, everything that God gave. When you lose it, you'll be desiring to get it back. You should be wise. The lepers, they cannot walk correct. Just go. But the God of heavy, the supernatural God, the great Jehovah, when he can get a vessel in his hands, will do great things. As though lepers were going, quiet as they want to go. Because they were afraid. They don't want nobody to hear them coming. But as they were just doing that, going, the Bible says God caused the Syrians to hear a noise of many horses. Noise, a great noise of, oh, they were just walking quietly, and then the Syrians begin to, chariots, a great noise. And the Syrians said, huh, the Israelites have hired the kings of the Egyptians and the Hittites and the Evites. They begin to call things upon themselves. That's how we call things upon ourselves with this big mouth here. If your mouth cannot say anything, close it. Close your big mouth. You better testify of the greatness of God. Oh, shut it down. And they have called the Egyptians, the kings of the Egyptians, and the kings of this and that. And they started running. They ran away. God is on the scene. Four lepers. God can do anything. They ran away. And to me, it's always amazing. When somebody is in hurry and want to go quick, you have to use your horse. But they left their horses. Their donkeys, they just scatter everywhere. That shows you that God is great. They left their horses because the children of Israel have killed all their horses. They've sold everything. And as they were running, this one would take his jacket and throw it away. Shoot, throw it away. Everything, throw it away. Because the children of Israel were in need. And God said, I will supply your needs. Don't underrate God. Don't underrate God. Because God has never changed. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. Oh, God, help us to believe. And the four lepers came there. There was nobody there. What they were afraid of, the people were already gone. God has gone before them. May God go before you. May God go before us. To clear the path. Hallelujah. My God will go before you. God told the children, my angels shall go before you. And clear the Anakim. And clear the Jebusites. And clear the path for you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the king. And the angel of the Lord went before them. And the Syrians ran away. And they come there. Ha! Ha! This is food. This is water. Ha! Oh, look at this. And they were taking food and hiding it. And they said, no, no. Let's go quickly. Today is the day of deliverance. There's a good news here. We cannot sit on this good news. We have to go to the town. We have to tell the people. He said, if we stay long here, something bad will happen to us. God was working. The prophet has spoken. They were not there. But God was there. And when the prophet spoke, God was responsible to bring the prophet word to pass. Woo! Hallelujah. And they just carried food and they just went out and, oh, here comes. Food. And everybody was looking. What? Who from this? Who are these? Where you get the food from? Because they have not seen food. They have not seen bread. They have not seen nothing for weeks. And yet are lepers. Nobody thought any good thing would come out of a leper. But God can use anybody. A leper. God used lepers to bring deliverance to the people. Oh, man. The lepers that could not walk, they brought good news. And they had evidences. They had the proof of it. They carried bread here and there. And they just brought it. Oh, they became heroes. Hi, hi. Because people, everybody was hungry. And you say, I will never eat from that brother. I will never eat from that sister. I will never shake the hand of that one. Here was the leper. The leper you didn't greet before, you don't shake. He's the one carrying bread now. And you're hungry. And the people see that. Hello? Hello? He said, what is hello for? Today you want to greet me today. When did you greet me last? When did you smile with me last? Oh, brother, we are the same people. You are what the same people. And you despise your brother. Don't despise any child of God. Because you never know. You never know. Your children, they don't do it. Ah, this is useless. That's why it's useless. Don't go that way. Do you know who is useless? God be merciful to us. Many a time we look down upon people. We must show utmost respect to the people of God, to the servants of God, to the children of God, to one another. Brother Brown said, God demands respect for himself and for his servants. Don't make that mistake. Why did God destroy Babylon? He said, because when I say my people there, you didn't even have compassion on them. And God dealt with them for the treatment they gave to Israel. Yet he was the one that made Israel to go there. So Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. Go. You will learn sense, lesson there. And then he tells you, oh, so when I brought my people to you, you didn't even have compassion on them. You will suffer. Be careful. Know what to say. So that you will not get in trouble with God. You know, Brother Brown said, when Moses called the children of Israel rebels, God was not happy with it. Yet God called them rebels. But Moses said, ye rebels! Eh? You call my children rebels? God's ways are past finding out. May God help us. Hallelujah. And now they brought the food. God can use anybody. Anybody to change the tides. And they have to go. He said, what do you get? He said, we got it there. The Syrians have gone away. They've run away. And they went there. And oh my, there was food. And they gathered. And they gathered. And they were rejoicing. God. They brought it down. Elisha said, tomorrow at this time. And they brought the food. And there was plenty, plenty, plenty. Just as the prophet said, God is watching over his word. Amen. And there was food in abundance. And this man, who said it can never be, he was there. He has forgotten even what he said. Don't let this tongue put you into trouble. Amen. Know what to say. Now he stood there. He has forgot. Oh yeah, you maybe telling people you must bring your license before you can get food. You must bring this, you have to bring this, you have to bring that. And the Bible said the people ran and pushed him down and walk on him and he died. He saw with his eye. He never ate of it. Be careful of what you speak. What happened? Those people were not there when the prophet spoke, but there came an anointing upon them to fulfill the word. And there is anointing upon us today to fulfill the word of the Lord. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, thy king cometh unto thee, is meek and lowly, riding upon the coat of an ass. The master has been walking all his days, but that day he sat on a donkey. And when he sat on the donkey, the disciples, something came upon them. They removed their clothing, they took palm branches, and they began to shout, Hosanna. And the Pharisees and the hypocrites, and they said, oh, Master, look at what your disciples are saying. Stop them. He said, if this will hold their peace, the rocks will cry out immediately. Amen. Why? It's a scripture. Amen. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Somebody has to rejoice. Amen. When done by the faith, God raises our people. And God has raised you up in this hour to fulfill the word. To stand for him in this hour. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. God knows what to do. And God will fulfill his word to the letter. He will. Remember when Elijah prophesied about the death of Ahab and Jezebel and all those things, and Jehoshaphat came in and Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "We are going to fight." He said, "What we are going to do? You dress like me, I'll dress like you." He wanted to dodge the word of the Lord. He wanted to act smart. Say, "Yeah, you dress like me, I'll dress like you." You cannot deceive God. No, it's not possible. You can't fool God. You can't fool man. He was fooling Jehoshaphat, but not fooling God, because God is God. God don't need torchlight to see. He doesn't need it. He's God. Day and night is the same to God. So that's why you don't even have to fear in the night, because the God of the day is the God of the night. We don't have to fear. He takes care of us. The same way on the mountain, the same in the valley. The way he is the same every time. And then they go to war. And then when they were fighting, there was a prophecy. The king gave order to his soldiers. The king of the Syrians or the Philistines, the Syrians, and he said, "Don't kill anybody. Just kill the king of Israel. That will be peace. That will be okay." That's all. And as they went there, because Elijah said, Elijah has prophesied, "I saw Israel scattered as a sheep without a shepherd." So Elijah spoke. Elijah said, "The king will be killed." And that's why they smart him. That's why they lock him up. Micah. When Micah prophesied, they said, "What are you saying? I know you don't like me." He said, "I hate him. I don't like him." And Jehoshaphat said, no, you don't say it. Christians don't speak like this. How can you say you hate somebody? I want to see people, when something is said and done wrong, you should be able to correct it. Joseph has said, "They have said, I hate this person." Don't say that way. Don't speak like that. May God help us. When you see that a gossip is made about somebody, evil is spoken about somebody, and you are there, you are a partaker of it. If you don't voice out against it. God help us. And he tried to hide. And then they chased Jehoshaphat. They ran after him to kill him. "Hey, no, I'm not a man." Say, "Hey, hold on. God don't make mistakes." They could have killed him. But no. It would have been contrary to the word of the Lord. So somehow they stay back. Say, "What? Something is happening." And then they saw the king, Ahab. You can't dodge God. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without? God forbid. God will fulfill his word to the letter. May God's grace be upon us to believe. To believe. To believe. And when we believe, it will take care of us. Because there is no worry in believing God. Worry, all this frustration comes out of unbelief. The attribute of unbelief. But to them that believe, all things are possible. God bless you. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, help us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. It can never fail. Lord, please forgive us of our unbelief. Help us to believe. We don't want to sit down and die. We want to act upon your word. Lord, give us the grace. Lord, give us the strength. Lord, give us the revelation. Give us the stimulation. Oh, great Jehovah, to rise up, Lord, and pursue and move forward. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, one time when David, their enemies came and captured their families, their wives and children, and David was crying, and then he came to his servant and said, must I go after them? And God said, you told him, yes, you can go. He said, will I recover? He said, yes, you will if you go. And David rose up and he went after the enemies and he got all that was taken away. Lord, may we rise up in this hour, Lord, and go, Lord, and claim the promises, Lord. Our loved ones, claim them. For we know, you say, if we go, we will overcome, Lord. If we stand for you, you will stand for us, Lord. Take every unbelief and doubt out of us. Anoint us with faith in the word of the Lord. Lord God Almighty, you've raised us up in this hour, Lord, for a purpose. Lord, may we recognize that purpose, Lord. May we give our all being to the purpose of God. Oh God, take unbelief out of us, Lord, and heal us, Lord Jesus, and make us strong, oh Lord, Father, to the glory of your name, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word that never fails, Lord. You said in your word that you are watching over your word and you will fulfill it, Lord. Fulfill your word in our lives, Lord. Lord, make us instruments of righteousness, Lord. Oh, great Jehovah, Lord, you are the healer. Lord, you are the provider. Lord, take away the worries that unbelief brings, Lord, and increase our faith to know that you can change any situation. You can heal any sick person. You can do no matter what the situation, no matter how bad, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter how the condition is, Lord, you can change it, Lord. Father, I pray tonight, whatever be the needs in the midst of thy people, meet it, O great Jehovah. Bless your people, meet their needs spiritually, meet their needs materially and financially. Great Jehovah, you knew where a fish has swallowed a coin. And Lord, you sent Peter to bring it out, Lord. Lord, you know all that we need. And Lord, in this crucial hour, the faith to stand, Lord. Lord, the strength to stand, Lord. Father, may you equip us. May you anoint us. Give us that spiritual inspiration, Lord. Help us to serve you with our heart, with our mind, with everything that is in us. Lord, we thank you so much. Bless your word and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
Praise the Lord, that was wonderful. Amen. Thank the Lord for the inspiration and just the word to our souls. Only believe, right? Praise the Lord. I sing praises to your name.
I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and great.
Let's sing it again. I sing praises.
I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and great.
I give glory.
I give glory to your name. I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. My God, for your name is great.
praise the Lord. So sing praises to his name throughout the week and give glory to his name. And I remember watching a movie, and I said this before, it's called Faith Like Potatoes. This was a Baptist or something. It was in Australia. And the gentleman got saved, and the minister says to him, "Now go tell somebody about it." Because when you tell somebody about it, it reinforces your faith. It brings it forth. It gives you that boldness. So, like I said, you've received. Now go tell somebody about it. What did you receive? What did you receive tonight? Did God speak? Go tell somebody about it. Tomorrow. You know what I heard at church last night? That I have power in my lips to speak life or death. That it doesn't matter if I disbelieve God, he's going to bring his word to pass. Right? God bless you, saints. You're dismissed. Have a safe ride home, and prepare your hearts for Sunday service. And we have a prayer meeting on Friday night. You're welcome to come at 7:30. And keep the ministry in prayer. And Brother Tim, you're going to be in the area for quite some time, or... pray for our precious brother. I know he desires the prayer, and God bless you.